My name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from alcoholism, fear of man. And this past week, I would say, man, like busyness to the exclusion of prayer.
And my name is Sierra. I have a new life in Christ. I'm in recovery from pride, anger, control, and this week, power, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay, cool. All right. Hey, so Sierra is our women's director. In case you're new or visiting for the first time, that would be redundant. Sierra is heading up our women's leadership, and so she may be a new face to some of you who wanted to make that introduction. So I want to tell you this. As she said, we're continuing on our Idols series. This is actually the conclusion of it, and tonight we're going to be talking about power. As I thought about this, I thought about my kids. And so we've got three kids. Right now they're 7, 5, and 3. And I don't know if this is a birth order thing or just like my oldest son thing, but some of you who are firstborns, you might be like, oh, yeah, that's me.
I'm also a firstborn.
Oh, okay.
Surprise.
We're developing a pattern. That's okay, that's insightful. So my 7-year-old, like no joke, on the daily, he'll be like, hey Penny, did you know that actually the way that you tie your shoes, and she's like, I know, I don't want, and he's like, no, what you have to do is you put it over like this and then you do that. Hey Penny, the way, no, you're doing it wrong. Hey Penny, and she's literally just like walking away. You hear doors slam. Judd, he'll do it to our 3-year-old too. He's like, Judd, that's not what you're supposed to do. No, you're not supposed to do it that way. Let me have that. No, Judd, that's wrong. Let me do that. And he's raising up in intensity. And Judd, like, Penny will just walk away. Judd's a little fighter. He's not having it. He'll be like, no! Like, he's like, he'll take the thing. He'll get out his plastic sword and start chopping at him. Like, he's... Which, you know, that's a different struggle for a different time. But the point is, my son Hill, he will like, in those moments, just like, it's like something comes over him and he'll just say it on repeat. Like he's stuck, he's in a ditch and he will not relent until they acknowledge, okay, you're right, that's the way to do it. Or okay, that's what you said, like I get it. Like he just won't stop. It's like something comes in, like, well, it's a sin. That's why I guess I'm reaching within my heart, like overcomes him and he won't let go. And I'll like, in my better moments, you know my struggle. I'm 13 days sober, by the way, from talking harshly with my kids. Thank you, Jesus. I'll let go. I'll grab his little 7-year-old face, gently, always gently. And I'm like, hey, Hill, listen to me, listen. Who are the parents in this house? It's kind of a rhetorical, redundant question. Like you know who the parents are. But in that moment, he's like, no, I'm the one. I am. I'm like, it's mom and dad. He's like, mom and dad. I'm like, so stay in your lane, bro. Like, you do what you do, and I'm going to do what I do. Like, you don't need to do that to them. And because you see it, like with your siblings, I'm like, hey, you don't want that. You don't want your brother and sister to feel that way because it's repulsive to them. It feels like they're being controlled as he like powers up and they're like, what are you doing right now? And it's driving them away. It's this like spiritual stank that just like pushes people away. They don't, my 5 and 3-year-old, they don't even know how to describe it, but you see them physically like moving away from him as he's like just like going after them, like, no, you will do what I say, you will yield. And we do the exact same thing to each other. There is one Father who we just sang to, and we just sang about. There is one Father, and he is all powerful, and he is all sovereign, and he is all providential. But we try to grasp that and like, no, I got this. Come here, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you what's up. You're going to do this. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm going to tell you what's up. I'm the one because I want to put myself in that position of power. And Jesus flips the script. He's like, yeah, the world lives like that. We don't live like that. My people don't live like that. And here's what he tells them. It's found in Mark chapter 10. You're going to see it on the screen, verses 42 to 45. And Jesus called them, that's the disciples, he called them to him. And he said to them, and remember, he's like, they're in occupied Roman territory. Like power was dominating the people that he said this to. You know that those who were considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man himself came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what he asks us to do, not to lord it over people, but to have servant leadership and to love people, not lord over, but to love, and to care about people instead of our own power. And so I've got a lot of struggles. I've got comfort. I've got acceptance struggles. Like they run deep in me, and I will be, they just like, it's something that I have to wrestle with. But power is not one that I'm like particularly given to. And so I decided to act a subject matter expert.
Surprise, that's me.
Which means I'm confessing her sin for her. I'm like, yeah, I don't have this ditch, but man, you kind of live there. You want to tell the people?
We're literally like, sitting in his office.
Actually, yes.
We're literally sitting in his office and he's like, tell me about it. Like, how can I teach on it? And I'm giving him all this information. And he's like, You want to do this together? You seem like you got this under control. I'm like, I've grown a lot, and I'm continuing to grow. And so as we kind of talked about it, power is kind of a sneaky idol, I would say. Like, you can easily say, man, I'm going to this for comfort, or I'm going to people for approval. And power can be really, really sneaky, because it can look like good gifts. It can look like someone who is confident, or a good leader, or someone who really has a lot of knowledge. Now, me, I love learning. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm your girl if you want a podcast, a book, a sermon, an article. Like, I love that. It stirs my affections for the Lord as I continue to learn apologetics and all of those things. Now, that is good. Like, we want to learn more about the Bible and about who God is. But good things, when they become ultimate, they are idols in our life. And so power is one that I deeply struggle with. And I would say that I have grown a lot in and yet still struggle with. And so really two big examples that kind of stick out in my mind when I think of the power idol. And the first one includes me and John. So
she thinks it's a sneaky idol. I'm like, no, man, that thing ain't sneaking. I see it. You can't see it. I see it.
And so one day during my review process, he said, hey, can I share something with you, give you some feedback? I'm like, sure, right? I'm doing so great. And he said, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a lot of times where you will say, well, actually. And then you interject, you know, a right answer or a correct answer, but it kind of comes off like a know-it-all. I was like, first of all, you don't know me. I didn't actually say that. I said it in my head.
I'm like, case in point.
My pride flared up. And if I'm being honest, the power idol often, the kind of result in it is you feel like you're being humiliated. It's one of your biggest fears of, oh no, I'm losing influence. He's going to think less of me. He's not going to listen to me. He's my boss. And it started to flood in that moment. And I could feel almost my heart tightening, because it wasn't that, you know, I wanted his approval. It was, he's not going to listen to me anymore if he thinks I'm a know-it-all. And so it was
because that comment started hitting your idol.
Absolutely.
And idols start screaming when they start dying.
Yes. And so that hit that idol inside of me. And so as I prayed, processed with community, and I was like, I think I actually say that a lot. Well, actually.
Well,
actually, I say it a lot.
And let me say this too. I'm her biggest champion. Like, I'm not there to tear her down. I want her to have influence, like godly influence. I want to build her up. I want to see her thrive. So anything that is not of Christ, out of love, not out of like, hey, well, let me tell you what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, I told her in my office today, I love you. I want to, in the most Plutonic, like, godly way, happily married.
Don't make it weird.
I'm like, I love you. I'm such a fan of yours. I want to see you thrive in everything. Like, that's the only reason why I would share that. I would never tear you down. How stupid is that? Like, that's all that it's for, is for a building up.
Yeah.
And so this godly girl was like, I receive it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've heard you say it since, actually.
Well, actually, thank you. No, but what I realized is that I did say it a lot, and it was so, for me, sneaky and kind of underneath, because I thought I was being helpful. I thought I was giving the correct answer. And what I started to realize is that just because something's right or just because something's biblical doesn't mean that it's always loving, and it doesn't mean that it's always helpful in the moment. And really, as you think, man, women's director, she's got it all together, she's got her life figured out, lies. Even this past couple weeks, I've been struggling with power, which is funny because I was about to teach on it. And talking with my community, and one of the girls in our community group was sharing some stuff, and she said, you know, in this moment, it's like, I really want to choose like this over here, and I desire freedom. And in the moment, I said, well, that's not really freedom, that's rebellion. Now, was it right? Was it true? Yes. But in the moment, she did not feel seen. She did not feel heard. She did not feel loved or cared for. She wanted in that moment for me to be able to validate of like, hey, I get that. I understand. But instead, it was more about being right and about proving that I knew more. Now, was that my forethought of I just want to be right? No. But when that idol starts to creep up, it's all about I want to be right. And so a lot of times in this idol, we can win the argument. We're successful in the argument, and we lose relationships. We create distance among the people that we care about the most and the people that we love. We're building up walls, and we're not creating a safe space for someone to be able to ask questions. Or maybe they feel like, well, I mean, she always has the answer, so let me not ask a question. And it's like, hey, we don't ever want to do that. And so I have to be so diligent and prayerful and ask the people in my life to call me out and say, hey, it sounds like you wanted to be more right than you wanted to care for someone in the moment. And so I want you to hear that as not because, you know, saying counsel is wrong or saying hard things is wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it is truly the heart behind it. What is your motive? Is it to just be right and prove someone wrong? Or is it delicately and caring and compassionately leaning in and saying, man, can I say something hard? Can I just share something? I'm thinking through it, and maybe you're not at a place to hear it, and that's okay, and caring about them more than I care about being right and seeking influence in that moment. Because truly, like I said earlier, power is about the success and about the influence that you're getting in those moments. John and I were talking about the idol of comfort, and even my last job.
No, hold on. We're talking about your struggle tonight. That's cool.
Right. That's cool. No, we're different. And I said at my last job before coming on staff here, what I realized is that I didn't really care about the title or even how much money I made, but it was about the influence that I had in the mental health community and in the nonprofit world. And John was like, man, when I was in the business world, it was all about the money and the status. And it was, we wanted the same thing, and yet the inner motive and the source of it looked very, very different. And so while all these idols that we've been talking about over the past few weeks overlap, we still have that deep-seated source idol that we go back to. And so like I said, power is one of mine. And one of the scriptures that we were talking about earlier is 1 Corinthians 8:1. And so I just want to read it to you because it's exactly what we were just talking about. And so it says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And if I really get down to the root issue of power, it kind of manifests in this way. I was talking with my community this week, and I said, it really is that knowledge equals power to me, and then power equals influence. And when I'm influential in someone's life, they listen to me, it makes me feel worthy. It's like, gosh, how counter is that to what God calls us to? That our worth does not come from influence or power, it comes from Him. Our identity should be found in Christ, that we are a new creation, that I am the daughter of a King, and that is where my worth comes from. Not in what someone thinks of me, not in the influence that I have or the power that I have. And so it is so off and so wrong, and I have to set my heart on the person, Jesus, that is gonna guide me, and not thinking that I have all the answers or that I'm always right. And so this is something that I'm consistently growing in. It's why I've been confessing power all day today, because this week it literally came up. And so my challenge to you guys is, if power is one of your idols, if it is one that you're like, man, I deeply desire that influence, I want to be right, so much so that I don't even care about the other person, I would ask you to really look at that and seek the Lord in that, and not look for people to be influenced by you, but instead that you would point to the person that is the influence, who is Jesus. He is the great teacher. He is the one that changes. He is the one that gives good counsel. It's not us. Even if we have the right answer, it does not matter if it's not done in love. And one of the things that I would just continue to preach to myself every day and preach to the person in the audience today that might have the power idol is we can easily, as believers, hide behind the reality of, well, I'm just speaking truth, right? I'm speaking truth. But truth is a person named Jesus. And if you're speaking truth, you're speaking Jesus into someone's life. And that means you're full of compassion and love and forgiveness. And if it's not with that, if your heart is not there, you are not speaking truth. You're being hurtful and disguising it as truth. And so I would just challenge you, point to Jesus. Don't want the influence for yourself. You want to just be someone that says, not me, but him. And so I hope that tonight I could just be an example of we all have source idols and we have to figure out what they are. And especially here at Region, especially as you're going through inventory and you're digging up the idols and the patterns in your life, don't be scared to get to those source idols because you will see how much it manifests in so many of your relationships and so many different situations. And you want to care for others and love Christ wholeheartedly. And so you got to call those idols out.
Amen. Totally. So the reason why, yeah, give the girl a hand. So good. Reason why she said you want to bring them into the light. An idol will give you what you want because it is you that it wants. And so it'll give you whatever it is, the power, the comfort, whatever, because it knows in the end it gets you. It'll devour you because as scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10, behind every idol is a demon. It's the way they get worship. You think it's about you, it's not about you. We're actually like giving over our worship to Satan. So this matters, it matters. It will devour your life if not. Jesus said, as they said, hey, Rabbi, teach us to pray. He gives them the Lord's Prayer and says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And in that is like, hey, this is not about my kingdom. It's about your kingdom. It's not about my power, which is an illusion and a mirage. Like God is the only one that has power. Now he will steward it to some in seasons for reasons. But if we grasp that, we're like, that's right. Now I got it. Man, that's not going to go well. See also Saul in the Old Testament. If you are not a good steward of that, if you lord it over rather than become that servant leader. And then lastly, it is for his glory. I think when we do this, we're like, God, you get behind me. Like I'm in power. I get the glory. And he won't share his glory with another. And so confess it, bring it to the light. We turn from it. And he, as we just sung, he loves you. He's your friend and a father if you are in Christ. This is what Jesus saves us from. It's never the end. No matter what brought you through these doors, there is hope that no matter what your sin is, Jesus came to die for your sins, buried, and rose again, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Crossover from death to life, and not just like heaven when you die, but a new life here and now forevermore. You're going to hear more about that new life from who?
You're going to hear that from Lizzie. She is one of our leaders, and she's going to come up and share just how the new life in Christ that she has. And so she's going to join us up here. Go ahead and welcome up Lizzie.
Everybody welcome Lizzie.